ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:03 on ESPN 97.5. Astros lose. How long has CJ Cron been a thorn in the Astros side?
Well, today's Austin Gombert is a little bit of a heckler, too. His last time out against the Dodgers, he lost, but he went six innings, six hits, seven strikeouts, gave up three earned runs. The time before that against the Giants, six and a third, two earned runs, gave up one hit, struck out five, walked four.
No, but I'm talking about last night's game.
Well, I'm just talking about tonight's game. You got, like, yeah, this kid walks a lot. He's got 13 walks and 15 strikeouts. So, yeah, that's a problem. But his last two appearances, He's faced Dodgers, Giants,
Lance,
Dodgers.
It doesn't matter who's pitching. The Astros are going to score
one
run.
The Astros are a favorite Urquidy. I don't even know how they're the favorite tonight,
because,
if I'm being honest.
Because Urquidy could throw a shutout ball. Otherwise, they can't win.
Minus 145. The over-under is 10.5.
10?
None of this is computing with me. I don't see... this Gombert kid looks like he's got a little something, although he walks a lot. So the Astros, but his first outing, he had seven walks, two strikeouts. His last outing, seven strikeouts, two walks.
Listen, if CJ Cron is in the lineup, bet on the Rockies, because the Astros, for years, when he was with the Angels, they can't get this dude. Has had more big hits against the Astros. I hate CJ. I hate this dude.
Do you?
Yeah. So I mean, he's got to go. I mean, this is terrible. And he had five RBIs last night. Five. I mean, what a pain in the ass this dude is. And now he's in Colorado. He's been bouncing around. He's a career 256 hitter.
He's
against
the
Astros. I'll bet you. I'm gonna take a look.
He's the Kelly Olynyk of baseball.
I'm going to see his splits versus team. I got to see what he hits against the Astros. I swear to God, this guy is a – versus Houston. Oh, that's just this year. I got to find career splits on this guy.
Yeah.
He is a killer.
So you got Urquidy going tonight. In case you missed it, the Astros are all back except for Altuve. The Astros were back. They were in the lineup. Reggie was there and Carlos Correa was there. Nothing. They didn't do anything. Uncle Mike had three of the hits, a majority of the hits. We opened up earlier talking about there's a poor defensive play by Miles Straw. He's hitting 200. Kyle Tucker's hitting below 200. And you had two bullpen, unfortunately, two of the guys who've been blowing up in the bullpen. This is now at least three times for Brooks Raley. He had another, gave up another run. Like, he continues to pile on his ERA, and Joe Smith does the same thing. We're getting to the point now where Joe Smith really can't come in games anymore, and Joe Smith may have to be replaced by somebody else. It's just, sorry, Joe, you just are hurting the team right now.
No.
And when he comes in, he hurts their chances to win. You have a less chance of winning when Joe Smith is in the game.
Maybe I'm misremembering CJ Cron. Maybe he's just come up with some big hits at big times. 132, 133, 043. I guess, man, I don't know. I just remember CJ Cron just destroying us.
Terrible.
I mean, yeah, it does sound terrible. So he had five RBIs last night. So I hate CJ Cron. Okay, that's it. Beat it, CJ Cron. Yeah, here, 241, he had a bunch of at-bats against the Astros. Seven RBIs. Screw you, CJ Cron. Anyway. He took care of business. If you have five RBIs against the Astros, you win, because this team can't hit. This is the most.
I mean, the Astros over under is 5.5 runs tonight.
Why? Okay, I'm betting it. I'm going. Forget. Okay, over
now, under's the favorite, -125. But the Astros 5.5 runs. If they get over five runs, they win, right? With your guy Urquidy on the mound, they should win.
If they get five,
he's only going 5 to 6 innings, so you got to get to the pen at some point.
Right. I mean, Garcia last night couldn't have been better until Miles Straw screwed him again. I mean, until he screwed the pooch again. they'll find a way. And oh, by the way, 5.5 runs. When was the last time the Astros scored 5.5 runs? It took them a week to score 5.5 runs.
Mm.
5.5 runs in a game?
You know who I...
Two runs, one run. Oh, they scored 5 against Seattle in their first game there. They scored 4, 2, 2, 3, 2. They suck.
Do you remember why Josh James is not with the Astros?
He's got a hip.
Yep. Hip surgery. He had a little... the timetable, I think he had a little setback. You know, he's not expected back until late May. That's an arm, and Josh was often
If you get Joe Smith and Brooks Raley out of the bullpen, I don't care who you are.
Yeah, well, Josh was no great shakes all the time, but he's better than that. But we got to see, somebody's got to come up and start to help out, because this is not great. They need to get Lance McCullers back. They're going to need it's either Garcia or Javier is going to get pushed into the bullpen. But, man, I would almost rather see Javier just to clean things up. I have confidence that Javier, although at this point right now, I'd rather have Javier's ability to carry a game for multiple innings than I would as a starter. I'd rather have you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go Urquidy and Javier, and we're going to finish the game with those two guys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'd rather do that right now.
Because they had days off, I guess they sent Javier down. And to keep him in his rotation.
Yeah,
what the hell? Just throw him in the bullpen for 3 innings, because that's all you're going to give him anyway. So he gets to just stay on rotation with somebody for 3 innings, and then he can work his way back into the rotation. You let one of your best arms go down instead of using him when you could win baseball games at the major league level. They have lost 8 of their last 9 of their last 10. And, Lance, by the way, do you know the last time that they scored? It's under overs 5.5, right? They're under overs 5.5. Do you know the last time they scored 6 runs?
When?
10 games ago.
Wow.
And they've only scored 5 once.
Crush City?
Yeah. I mean, 10 games ago, they scored 6 runs. Why in the hell are they 5.5? It's under overs 5.5. Bet the over. It doesn't make any sense. Bet the over.
I'm trying to get an updated timetable on Fromber, but there's really not one. I mean, the broadcast has kind of hinted about the summer. That's what it's looking like.
Well,
I mean, Fromber, Lance will come back when he's feeling better. He's been sick or whatever, but Fromber is a really big deal, because Odorizzi, he had a good outing last time out. So Odorizzi, you got Urquidy, you got Greinke. You got Javier.
It's 8 of their last 9, and they scored 10. 8 of their last 9 they've lost, and they have not scored 6 runs in 10 games. Unbelievable. What a horrible, horrible stretch. But at least we got Rockets basketball tonight.
When Fromber makes it back, which is going to be a while, it is going to be Javier probably who goes to the pen, and not because of out of performance. There's a chance that Javier will outperform Odorizzi and quite possibly Urquidy as well. But Javier, we've seen work in a pen. His value, and frankly, the idea of middle relief, it's not like it used to be. This is a lot of value now for the Astros.
Well, he could get a 3-inning save for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 innings is no big deal. He can go 3 innings. And this is really, I just don't feel like you can bridge from reliever to reliever to reliever right now with the Astros. So I just have no confidence in going from pitcher to pitcher to pitcher and bridging it from 6 through 9. And who are you bridging to? Presley? I mean, even that's not super exciting. Baez, when you get him back, Fromber's going to be a little while. But honestly, when you look at this, if you have Garcia and Javier in the bullpen, it does give you so many more options if they use Garcia in the bullpen. But I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, you would. You got to.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Why would you take one of your best again? Oh, no, send him down and keep throwing Joe Smith and Brooks Raley out there. And that's dumb. No, sending Javier down was dumb. It was dumb. Houston has his own skid row. It's called Midtown. No, it's not. Just north of Minute Maid. Now that's
Yeah, no, every major city has.
Yeah,
it. Yeah. I mean, it's a.
Yeah, you may be right. I might be thinking of Calhoun, Jackie. It may be. But Crone, I remember him having some big hits as well. Anyway, 713-780-3776 and Calhoun. Yeah, he's a killer. Oh, well. So when we come back, Texans, they had some guys out of voluntary workouts.
Cool. Just because they're voluntary doesn't mean you have to not go.
Well, they said, we're not coming. We're not coming to your voluntary workouts, so screw you. And then 40 guys showed up. So we'll talk about, but there's some money involved in this whole thing. So we'll talk about that on the other side here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:16 on ESPN 97.5. Texans have voted not to attend OTAs to work out, and yet there were 40 guys who showed up on Monday for workouts, voluntary workouts for the Texans. That's a lot of. We were talking about it before the show. When you're on a 1 year deal, a new GM, new head coach, you want to make an impression. You know that everybody voted, no, we're not going to go to off-season workouts, voluntary
players,
workouts.
The NFLPA, like, don't go.
Yeah. It's COVID. No, you just don't want to go.
Well, I can't believe they threw COVID in there. They played a whole, it just seems like right now it's an unnecessary chances we're taking. Like, everybody can be vaccinated. How many of y'all, are y'all vaccinated? No, there's spikes. And you guys have been trying not to go to OTAs for literally, like, the last 6 years. Just say that. You don't have to do the COVID thing.
Well, it worked out just fine last year, didn't it? Well, yeah, I guess, except for young players.
Yeah,
not
like when you were here during COVID.
Yeah, right. Well, they were all doing everything virtually. They did everything virtually.
But not playing games virtually.
No. But here's the deal. A lot of guys have de-escalator clauses. Dependent on attendance at workouts. Deshaun, $500,000 missing out on. Laramie Tunsil, $350,000. Zach Cunningham, $250,000. Where are these guys?
Oh, Laramie's there.
Probably.
I don't know, it doesn't say,
but these are Bradley Roby, $250,000. I doubt he's there. Whitney Merciless, he's showing up for $250,000.
Yeah. I would too.
$250,000 for Randall Cobb. There. Here. Randall Cobb, here. Eric Murray, here. I mean.
Present.
Brandon Dunn, here. You know that.
Name all the players who could just like, A, I don't care about the money.
Roderick Johnson, $50,000. Here.
Let me know if you need anything else, coach.
Yeah. Wide receiver.
Roderick, we're fine.
Dante Moncrief, $25,000. Here.
Here. Yeah.
Tremont Smith, Dontrell Hilliard, $20,000. Here, here.
I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, A, if I got a clause where I'm picking up that cash and I'm not a big-time player, why would you not? And then number two, these are a bunch of guys on a bad football team who are not long-term players. They have one-year deals. Yeah, this is an example of I want to show the new boss that I'm about it. Because I would like to get a second contract after this is over in free agency. That's what this is. And you know that should be fine with the veterans.
Yeah.
In the NFLPA. You got money tied to your workout bonuses, and that's frankly the way you
set
it.
Well, I don't know. So if you're a Treader, are you like, hey, you guys, don't show up.
You can't mess with people's money.
Don't mess with my money, bro.
If that's in the contract, and this is the thing, I'll bet you that's no accident that Nick Caserio wanted that in the contracts like
Absolutely.
That. I'll bet that's no accident.
Well,
although some of those were already set up.
Some of those were there, yeah. Some of those were
but
there.
But whoever set it up, Jack Easterby, who's known as a cap guy.
Why would you pay Roderick Johnson $50,000 for a workout bonus when you don't even know if he's going to make the team?
That's probably the money you were going to pay him anyway, and you said, let's just throw it in there.
And make it a workout
make
bonus.
Make sure he's there, because we need this guy as many practices as possible.
Is Dante Moncrief a sure thing for this team?
No.
No. Yeah, $25,000.
Let's
give it to
it's
him.
It's a way that you say, okay, if you want your money, you're going to be at different workouts, even if they're considered involuntary.
The Bears said this. Okay, the Chicago Bears put this out. COVID-19 remains a risk for both to our team and families and to our fellow NFL players. We also saw the health and safety benefits of a fully virtual offseason as injuries across the NFL were down last year. Players remain unclear about the protocols and protections, and rules remain inconsistent despite the last-minute communication by the NFL yesterday. I've said that the NFL, if they could, you would get 2 weeks off a year, and you would be there every day because that's how coaches are. That's how coaches and general managers are.
Ooh, a lot of coaches don't mind this. They'd like more time off.
Well, Hey, you strength and conditioning coach, you'll be there. We won't, but you'll be there. And these guys need to be working out every day.
Strength and conditioning coaches will be there.
Yes.
They're there
all the time. No, but the head coach and the other coaches, no, we're taking off. But we want our players there every day. If they could have them there every day, they would have them there every day. You get 3 weeks off a year like regular people do, and that's it. I don't disagree that less football and these OTAs and mini camps and all of this crap that they've added to football over the years, I don't think it's the best for it.
I think it's an important part if it's done efficiently. I think they really need to look at, okay, we have rookie mini camp, then we have mini camp, and then we have OTAs. Like, okay, here's what needs to happen. There's some studying in the classroom that needs to go on, film studies. There's technique work that is needed badly for the guys who are in their first couple years. Tailor it to that. Tailor it for the younger guys, because let's face it, veterans don't care about rookie deals. Like, when it comes time to get the contracts done and collective bargaining, they don't care as much about rookie. That's why the rookies are slotted now. It makes more sense. Slot the rookies and give the veterans a chance to make their money for longer, and you take care of the middle class in football. And but to have better football, you really do need to have more coaching and more hands-on experience with certain players, especially coming from college where everything is so simplified now. When they get to the pros, it's funny. When I talk to coaches about this, that's one of the first things they say is you have, guys are so simple now with everything is a turn to the sideline and, okay, there's a piece, there's John Stamos. There's a picture. You don't even know who half these guys don't even know who these guys are. Oh, look, there's Rudy from Bill Cosby's show. That must mean I'm going to run a rub route. So, okay, that's fine. That's all I'm going to do. There's not instincts. You don't have the same level of instincts for players. They're told everything from one simple look on the sideline. It hurts quarterbacks more than anybody. But offensive linemen, my dad said, with speed of college football, they're really taught just get in front of the guy and stay in front. They don't have time to teach technique. Some of the coaches there aren't teaching technique great in college anyway. And he just said, man, it's a really hard thing now. People ask, why are the state of offensive line so bad now? Because they're coming in, they don't know technique, and then you don't have time to work with guys anymore because they've eliminated a lot of it. So the state of offensive line play is going to stay bad. You can't have it two ways. You can't say, well, offensive line play is bad. Why? What's going on? Well, they need more practice time because they don't get it as much in college anymore, technique work. Well, you can't ask people to practice in the pros. Well, okay, then the state of offensive line is going to keep being bad.
Yep.
Rookies are not going to get better technique-wise if they don't have time because you're not working – a ton of technique in camp. You're trying to get ready for the season. Oh, it's tricky. It's tricky with how to handle NFL, because I agree with you. A lot of it is just way, way too much.
Yeah, way too
much. I saw with my dad, it's like, man, it's like it's a full-time. There is no off-season anymore for the coaches either.
No. Everybody. And everybody gets burnt. Everybody's burned out. And over the way, and maybe, Treader, J.C. Treader said, this is based on science. We are healthier. We were healthier last year.
Don't use COVID as an excuse. What he's talking about is true, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And brain stuff, the ability for the brains to recover. is a big deal. If you really cared about the brain stuff, you'd probably have.
Well, you wouldn't have added a 17th game.
No, no, you would have added four bye weeks.
If they really cared about
You'd have 3 to 4 bye weeks.
Yeah.
Like every four, after every four games. But the weather does not lend itself to that. That's really what you'd want to do. Four games, and you get a bye week.
Speaking of college coaching, did you see what Paul Feinbaum said?
No.
Paul Feinbaum on Bill O'Brien. He may be the best offensive coordinator Nick Saban has had. I have a hunch that Bill O'Brien may end up being the best offensive coordinator that Saban has had. Hmm. I know that's a mouthful considering everything we all know.
What's that
based
on?
But he is at such an interesting point in his career.
What's that based on, the best offensive coordinator that Saban's had?
I'm curious, too. Does it say why
he does a great job here, and the world is his oyster. I mean, any job. I'm not talking about jobs back east. Grab a job just to have one. Bill O'Brien did not need this job.
He needed a job.
I think Nick Saban took a good long look and said, this guy is special. I agree. Bill O'Brien is special.
I mean, there are
Bill has been lauded for his offensive
special.
His offensive acumen. Remember, he's the only one that got a good season out of Christian Hackenberg.
That is what they all lean on.
Yeah.
But how come
he's also the only coordinator that never won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady?
Deshaun Watson got better with Bill O'Brien here. Whether you like it or not, it's true.
Watson's best year was when Bill O'Brien was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way.
No, well, actually, the case.
Oh, you mean like 2017?
Like no, I mean 2000.
His best year was 2000.
No, 2020.
Was his best year. Yeah. Yes, it was the best year.
How many touchdowns a game did he average? As much as 2017?
You mean when he got hurt?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. That was nothing.
He threw.
I'm just asking just a simple statistical question.
16 touchdowns.
Since you were talking about. The guy that couldn't start? He wasn't good enough to start for Bill O'Brien
that year? Since you were talking about zips and steamers. And you're the numbers guy now. Mm-hmm. Just tell me how many touchdowns per game Deshaun averaged then and now.
Didn't he throw 16 over 6?
Yeah.
Is that any good? 48 touchdown average?
How does that work out to 48?
Deshaun, you said over a 6 game?
He threw 6.
I'm just going to agree with Paul Feinbaum. Bill O'Brien is special.
He's the best. He may be the best coordinator. Which part do you agree with? He's special or that he's the best coordinator?
Special.
Okay. What's your definition of special?
Special. He's special.
Okay.
That's all.
Don't keep going.
I'm
going to
say Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
Or even Lane Kiffin.
Let me ask you this. Was giving away DeAndre Hopkins.
Those aren't offensive coordinator moves.
For a second rounder not special?
No, that's not play calling moves.
That's not play calling, though.
But why would he say that? Either Nick Saban has told him that or he talked to Bill O'Brien and really like Bill O'Brien was doing
but there's evidence.
Like, good old Bill O'Brien, the happy, nice guy.
I don't care what Bill O'Brien
just, let's
said.
Let's go have a beer, Paul. Let's just.
Or what Nick
let's
Saban
take it like
said.
One of the fellas.
I don't care what either one of them said. There's evidence to suggest that Sarkisian or Kiffin are the better coordinators so far.
Yes.
Well, yeah, since Sarkisian had one of the greatest seasons in college football history.
And turned Mac Jones into a top five pick.
Yeah.
Here, let me do the math for you guys since you losers can't figure out math like I can.
Okay.
2017, Deshaun averaged, his touchdown percentage was 9.3.
Okay.
This great year this year was 6.1. Now, he did eliminate his interception percentage from 3.9 to 1.3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
His yards per attempt went up. Yeah, mm-hmm. Whatever, big deal, 8.9.
Huh.
He led the league in small hand towels.
That's not an NFL stat.
It is an NFL stat.
It is now.
It's darkened
the,
on, the,
massage
on
stat.
The stat sheet.
Part of the analytics now.
Yep.
It's darkened because he led the league.
Led the league.
It's in bold. His quarterback rating was higher this year than that year. Okay.
Oh yeah. So
his QBR was lower this year.
No one
year.
Cares about QBR.
He took more sacks this year than that year.
Wait a minute.
He only
per
had
game?
19 that year.
Per game.
Total.
No.
Total.
six
out of six games, and he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, his sack total is just high anyway. You look at 49, matter. 44, 62, and 19.
Mm.
Like sacks per game. Dude, when you talk about David Carr,
I'm going to need.
Deshaun is.
Yeah, but Deshaun just.
170.
As opposed to David Carr, he sat in the pocket and then ran to the sideline.
That's the.
And he ran out of bounds on the sideline taking a sack.
Well, did Feinbaum say that on like his that. Show or on one of the ESPN shows that he frequents? Did he say that?
Feinbaum?
On his radio show or one of his guest appearances?
Because
I would not fit in on one of those shows.
He was on Monday's edition of WJOX is the round table.
So he was doing a spot.
Been with,
so I couldn't fit
with my guy Cole Kubelik.
I couldn't fit in because my first reaction would be,
excuse me.
Didn't Steve Sarkisian parlay his time with Alabama into the Texas job? And yet Bill O'Brien,
look at the numbers he got out of Tua and the last 2 years
Mac
out
Jones.
Of Tua and Mac Jones.
And didn't Bill O'Brien's star quarterback have his best year and took off after the coach left?
Yeah.
So you still think that Bill O'Brien's the best OC that, okay, Paul.
No, he had to have gotten that from Nick Saban or somebody on Saban's staff. I mean, it had to have
that's
come
not,
from
that's
Nick.
Still,
and you know, Saban always seems
he's
like
pumping
he,
up his guy, whatever.
He doesn't like, yeah, and
but,
he's
but
never
still.
Happy with coaches who leave him either.
But still, look at the numbers, Paul. It's pretty easy. There's no evidence to suggest that he is better than the other.
That's
the
just
previous
a random thing to say. You know, on the heels of Mac Jones's incredible year where Mac Jones looked this good, I got to say, this Bill O'Brien looks like he's going to be the best of all. Like, but...
Look what he
did you see
Christian
guys
Hackenberg.
Running wide open all the time in this offense off of, and we saw play design and scheme was incredible.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, why
what,
is
what
Bill
they
O'Brien
did with
the
Devontae
best?
Smith was unbelievable. And they lost one of their best players,
yeah,
Jalen Waddle.
The response would be, a wide receiver, a true wide receiver hasn't won the Heisman since, what, Desmond Howard? And Steve Sarkisian got a 165-pound guy to do it.
Yeah.
And you're still talking about Bill O'Brien?
That's unbelievable. 931 ESPN 97.5. What about Rick and Michelle?
Oh, man. Texas Star Grill Shop. Great people. They are getting bigger and bigger. There's four different locations in and around the Houston area. And the newest one, and what Texas Star Grill Shop is it's a one-stop shop for barbecue. But, well, not for buying barbecue, it's to make your best barbecue. The Pits and Spits, the Traeger Timberline, which is such an easy model to use. My buddy Michael was telling me about him that he uses this Traeger with, and he does everything through his phone to set the temperature and keep it there. It makes succulent, delicious barbecue every single time out. And I don't care which brand you're talking about. They have the high-end barbecue pits that are built to last and be a very, very durable purchase for you. And you get high-end taste and quality every single time out. They got the best rubs, marinades. You've got rib racks in there, pizza stones. They hand you a beer right when you come in. You got a St. Arnold beer. I mean, it's a great place to go barbecue. Charcoal, wood pellets. Everything that you need is in one stop. That's why it's a one-stop shop. Four locations in Houston, including a brand new one on Woodway. Or, of course, my home base. I like to still go to the original right there at Shepherd and Greenbrier. Make sure that you go to TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Article out. I think this is pretty interesting. Just bear with this. It's a Deshaun type of article, but I know some of you are really tired of it. But it came out on Tuesday. What are we at today? Wednesday? And it's written by... let me pull this. I went to a different one. It came out on Tuesday. It's written by Shalice Manza Young, Yahoo columnist. And it says, as the Deshaun Watson legal battle gets uglier, media can't continue being complicit. See what you think about this.
Complicit?
What? And you'll understand why when the person who wrote this article says this. I think there is an understanding that new media has made it easier for any of us to be involved in media. You can start your own blog, your own website. Many of these websites have flourished or become much bigger. Larry Brown Sports is an example. We cite stories that are in there all the time. A lot of time they take, it's the Pro Football Talk model of you take a story, you aggregate it, you put your own spin on it. You're not breaking news.
Right.
You're spinning it or repurposing it and you get the hits. Now, because of that, everyone is out there trying to be the first out there. They're trying to say the most over the top things to get the most attention. You can't be boring and get attention anymore. That's over. You can't do it. Now, the problem with new media is there's no accountability. Mm-hmm. They didn't go to school for it, for many of them. They don't learn, and I didn't, I'm not including myself in old guard media, but I recognize what old guard media meant, and that means you check your source. Mark Berman is old guard media. You check your source not only once, but you double check with multiple sources. You don't go with information that you cannot confirm. There's rules to this. New media has no rules. You put it out there, and if you miss, oh, well, what's the worst that's going to happen? Now, if lawsuits start coming, then you'll slow this down, or if there's accountability. But there's no accountability. And some of them are just, some people just aren't smart enough to know when they're being gamed. And that's the writer's point here. It says, one of the early knocks on Tony Busby, who is representing more than 20 women who filed civil suits against Deshaun Watson, was his use of social media, specifically Instagram, to inform the world about the accusations against Watson. It seemed unseemly, unprofessional. But on Monday, Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, took things even lower and not only showed no regard for many of the alleged victims, he potentially put them in the crosshairs of danger. Last week, a Texas judge ruled that under state law, the women suing Watson could not retain their anonymity, yada, yada. And Hardin, now armed with these names, sent out a statement to media on Monday calling all of the women liars, because that's what happens all too often. Women who make accusations of sexual assault or misconduct immediately are the ones facing the questions. What did they do to provoke the unwanted behavior? What were they wearing? Blah, blah, blah. It's why so many women keep their own sexual traumas a secret. The writer goes on. Hardin's official legal response attached at least some of those names to counter allegations that they bragged about their encounters with Watson or worked with Watson multiple times despite their claims, and lied about the trauma they say they've suffered since the session with Watson started. Which, by the way, are all things Rusty should be doing. Make no mistake about it. If that's what's going on, Rusty has to uncover all that stuff. And Deshaun Watson should not be tasked with facing claims from people who are bragging about this, that, or the other, or saying that they were in the midst of a shakedown. Clearly, I hope the writer is not talking about that. However, the gross and dangerous part is the gross part, and the thing he did with no regard to their personal safety was that Hardin emailed all of the information, the statement and the legal filing, directly to reporters. Under normal circumstances, a reporter that knows their way around the legal system would have to search for such a filing and likely cough up a couple dollars to access it. So this guy probably understands. Oh, man, woman. I didn't see the picture.
That's not a man.
That's not a man.
Woman?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just looked at the
nicely
picture.
Nicely done,
though. Well, I said man, woman. I wasn't sure.
Ooh, he's
are
a man,
you though?
Man, woman.
And many of these reporters did exactly what Hardin was hoping they would do, posting screenshots of the document, because this is your personal flex. Like, look at me. I got this. Please do my, please hit me. Hit me, please. I need you to look at my stuff. They posted screenshots of the documents directly to Twitter, where bad actors had immediate access to the names of alleged victims and could harass them or worse. Yes, the women had to surrender their anonymity, and yes, that meant they could have been found. But as I've been told, most crimes are crimes of opportunity. If you're a Watson fan who is angry at the player who has been careful to present himself to the world as a charitable, smiling guy, is facing these accusations, and if you want some sort of revenge, the kind of things so we're clear that Watson would never do for you where the tables turned, it became a hell of a lot easier to reach out to those women when media corps were concerned with access, were more concerned with access than substance, and proper journalistic behavior dutifully reshared their names into the ether. An ethical journalist wouldn't publicize the alleged victim's name until the case had advanced to the discovery phase. Right now, these cases are in the early stages with the two sides trading accusations. For the public at large, had they been required to search the legal documents or fork up some money to get the names, maybe their rage would be confined to tweets from a troll account. However, now the opportunity is there to personally harass these women, look them up, and threaten them with death, rape, or show up at their doorstep because they've hurt an NFL player you've never met before.
Well, So
what do you think about that?
Well, I think that here's the deal is that Tony Busby invited this. He by going about it the way that he did, each of them anonymously making the accusations, bringing them out slowly, two at a time, doing it over a couple of weeks.
Why is that bad?
Well, here's the
and
deal.
You said in a trial,
if you're the defense or the prosecution, there are questions that you don't want to ask because you open the door for.
But why two at a time? What does that have to do with it?
Well, because he slowly was bleeding Deshaun Watson. He absolutely was.
But how did he? Just to be sure, you're saying he invited this.
He invited
tactic
the reporters
of
to do
outing
this?
The names of women who are going to be harassed.
Yes.
Because he's been
harassing Deshaun Watson in much the same way.
Wait a minute. He's a lawyer. Not a harassment. No one is showing up to Deshaun with death threats.
Well, you can't blame Rusty Harden for doing it the way that he did.
I don't think she's talking about Rusty Harden. She's talking about the reporters.
No, I got that.
Yeah.
But they're both trying this through the media. They're both trying this through Twitter. So if that's the way that Tony Busby's going to go about it, and by the way, everyone picked up all of Tony Busby's stories.
Well, but that's not what she's saying, though. The media jump, basically not the media, the people who have no journalistic background, who don't know better, or frankly just don't care, they're not employed by a major media outlet, they're firing up names of, I don't think, if that's what Rusty wants, that's really poor. If your entire strategy is, let's get some death threats and rape threats and harassment, you need to be held accountable if that's what you think you should do, is try to get these women death threats. That's just not acceptable in our society.
Well, no. But wait a minute. Tony Busby came out with Ashley Solis and did a press conference putting her name out there.
Yes.
So is Tony Busby responsible? He did a press conference with Ashley Solis and the other woman's name. They got death threats. So is Tony Busby responsible?
Those women decided that's what they wanted.
That was
to
their
do.
Decision to that, do that. That. These other women were forced
their
into
Their decision
it.
Was be part of public record as well. Listen, yes, it's irresponsible for all of these people. But guess what? When it becomes part of public record, they put their names out there, and there's a good chance they're going to be
what
made public.
What should we do about that then?
There's a good chance they're going to be made
let's
public.
Okay, let's fix it then. If you're telling me that there's no way to do it, then what can we do to fix it?
Well, then don't put their names out there publicly.
No, you have to. We already said that. Those women would have loved for it not to be public.
Well, then
Tony Busby invited.
About if we become decent human beings and not harass them?
That's out. You can't just hope society is decent.
Well, then if you have to put their names out there publicly.
But you're skipping over something that happened. Tony said, yeah, we'll make them public to you, Rusty. We don't want them public. Rusty goes, no, we want them filed so they become public.
Right.
Tony Busby was offering, I don't think that's Tony Busby's, if it's for the legal team, if Rusty Harden wants it public because he knows what's going to happen and it's going to intimidate the women, then that's actually, how is that on Tony Busby when he said, we're willing to give you the names, we don't want them listed publicly?
Well, he's already put two of them out there publicly.
That's their, they wanted to file.
And
they also wanted
to file against Deshaun Watson, and they knew their names would be out
Deshaun
there publicly.
Deshaun wants to know the names, too.
Right.
So does Rusty. The thing I don't think they could get Rusty to agree upon was that it wouldn't be made, is that, look, we don't want to make these public. We'll give them to you public. We'll give them to you privately.
Right.
We don't want these public.
Well, here's the problem for that writer, too, is that I could have gone, I could have paid, I could have gotten these names myself, and I could have done this when... But I'm a regular journalist. I'm a real journalist. I could have done that. Now everybody can do it. Wait a minute. You guys made this so everybody can have all of this information when it just used to be us.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Well, right. Now, someone in the media could have actually published their names too.
But
someone in the mainstream media could have done that.
Mainstream media is not going to
do that.
Well,
then you don't know that. You don't know that they wouldn't
do
it today.
I do know that. When does it happen?
It's happened before. But
there's journalistic standards. Chronicle still goes by. Ask Wendy.
Yeah, no.
Channel 13 ain't gonna do that.
I worked for news stations forever, Lance.
Right, and they don't
I know
do
it. And there absolutely could those names could have,
but you could get
and might
sued
have been
too.
Published. No, because there's public record, Lance. You can't get
they
sued.
Choose,
for that.
Most organizations choose not to because they know what could happen to those women.
That's
when their
right.
Names
but you know, in today's world, I could, you know how many clicks I'm going to get?
Yeah.
You know how many readers I'm going to get if I put the names out there?
Exactly.
And it could have happened.
So what do we do now?
Well, we can't.
Yeah, we can't. No,
it's
no.
It's the system. What do you want to do?
No. Well, let's look at reforming the system. How about you say this is not allowed to be shared? And if you do that, you lose your social media account.
Yeah.
And you're suspended for a year.
Listen.
If it leads
I'm going
to
tell you this.
Threats, How about we Tony start Busby having accountability for social
Tony
media?
Tony Busby has been playing dirty ball for a while here. Now that Rusty Harden is fighting back with dirty ball, now we're going to blame Rusty Harden?
I don't. You what you say dirty ball, I just totally disagree. I think just because you've already talked about this, you've admitted this yourself. People came to him. He didn't have all 22 well, just sitting there all
but
at once.
Lance, wait a minute. Now that Rusty has been able to answer, we all look a little bit differently at this.
No, it's
but Tony Busby has been boom, punch.
It's his job.
Without, that's right, it's his job. And it's Rusty's.
But why do you look differently at it? Because
to come back to.
Because Rusty said people are lying. Why do I believe Rusty?
Well, no. But Rusty has some kind of proof.
Allegedly.
That the two oral. I mean, that's
well, I've never seen the proof.
Put it out there.
Then if there's,
you say he's got proof. We didn't see all the
all he said was what he said.
I didn't see them have a board of all the text messages and stuff like that. They just told you that.
Oh, no. They told us that. But I haven't seen any proof of these women either. But Tony Busby's been putting it out there. Well, Tony Busby's been putting it out there.
Tony Busby has.
This is a court. This is what.
Public opinion.
Well, Tony Busby has released text.
This is a real court called a civil court. And they've got. These are the actual filings in civil. This is not being tried.
Well, and the last time you've heard all of this coming out in Twitter for a civil suit, it's because it's Deshaun Watson. He's famous and he is trying this on Twitter.
Oh, this happens all the time for everybody famous.
Who?
All the stuff. All the you don't keep up with it, but all the stuff with Johnny Depp and the whole thing he's going through. Anybody famous is going to have all this stuff come out on them too. Yeah, you're right. Only famous people. But that's part of fame. That's not Tony Busby's problem. And look, I'm not a big fan of Tony Busby, but I'm trying to be fair about this. Part of fame is that you get things that other people don't get. Perks, frankly, you get away with more stuff.
You get away with criminal stuff if you're famous. And by the way, okay, let's just say this, that Deshaun is innocent and all these women are lying. Deshaun has taken is hit after hit after hit. And you know what? Rusty Harden punched back the same way Tony Busby has been punching
I'm
him.
I'm going to ask you to be really honest here. Do you think that all
I have no
these,
idea. I have no,
no
idea.
I understand. I'm asking if John Granato thinks that all 23 women have engaged in a lie.
I don't know, though.
But you felt pretty sure that a lot of stuff had gone on here
right.
before Rusty said this,
but now all 23 are lying? Tony Busby has done this, has destroyed this man's name, and he better be right.
Has destroyed this man's name. I think Deshaun's actions of getting over 40 massage requests where they led to sex. Come on, this has been admitted.
Yeah.
No, I mean, your common sense does not tell you that everybody, Deshaun never touched anyone with his wang at any point?
No, it's 9:49. We've got to take a break. 713-780-37. We can continue this on the other side right here.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.952 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. I think we're in a different world now, and quite frankly, this whole thing is so salacious. And I don't think regular journal with Twitter and how it's tried now in the court of public opinion.
Twitter is a terrible mechanism.
Is a horrible place.
It's really become a really bad
place.
It's
a horrible, horrible place.
I mean, just look at some of the people we deal with all the time. Jackie. Art. Yeah. Look at Art's tweets, Raheel.
Yeah, no, horrible people.
Just.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. And we're trying to be, we're trying to be shining lights of justice and doing things the right way. And here we have people like them on Twitter just being just horrific people, especially Raheel. Especially Raheel on his birthday.
Especially.
Yeah. So, I think we are beacons. I think whoever said we're beacons of justice is absolutely right. I don't know who said that, but somebody probably did. And I don't know. I just think that the whole thing has been so salacious and so guttural and so the whole thing from the get-go, the way Tony Busby has presented it and destroyed Deshaun's name. What gets me is this. If Tony Busby put out there that there was forced oral on Deshaun Watson without proof or with and actually he didn't do his before he's accused Deshaun of that, because to me that kicked it up a whole nother level. That is so egregious. If he forced these women into the sexual act, now we're talking real sexual assault and close to rape. I don't know what you would call it legally, whatever the case may be. If he's naked and he asked them to do stuff and they didn't want to do it and all that, it's a level below.
Do you remember what it said?
It's a level below.
No, but do you remember? Remember, we read that
case.
So what did it say? Do you remember?
Which one?
She felt threatened. The reason she had, it wasn't a physical, he kept staying on it and on it, and she said she felt threatened by his size and intimidated, and that's why she did that. So how do you it's complicated. We can't just make it always easy. The way they're making it, John, is like, okay, she said, I was intimidated.
And all we got are bits and pieces and her word for it.
Right.
When in fact there was a security guard there, and if she felt that threatened, now it's the other side of the story that we're hearing. And if it's not accurate to put that on Deshaun, I think is, if it's not accurate, I don't know if it's accurate. We'll find out. I don't know if Rusty's making the stuff up. I don't know. The one who said she's already admitted to it was consensual, the oral sex, when in fact, when she's suing him about it, all of these things, that it kicked up a notch. This is something that has destroyed Deshaun's name. And I listen, the way that this whole thing has gone, the whole thing to me is a horrible, horrible way that our justice system is working right now. It's a horrible way for our justice system
to work. Has nothing to do with it as of yet. It's two lawyers battling out
in public.
In public.
Tony Busby started this fight.
I don't, frankly, the back and forth between you two as far as that's less of a concern for me. But as far as the justice system back and forth, the justice system has done almost nothing because it hasn't really come to them yet. It's more about these two lawyers.
Yeah, it's not the justice
trying
system.
To.
Well, no. But they're again, this is being tried, and they're hiding behind the justice system to destroy each other in the media. I mean, yeah, it hasn't even come to that. And look at where we are on this thing.
Yeah, the media thing, I think so if you really want to be honest about this, I think Tony Busby, if you super sleuth this and put all the pieces together, the first thing he had, and I don't know if it was Instagram or Facebook or whatever, the first thing he had was talking about Deshaun Watson's good guy image, because he knew that in a civil case, Deshaun already has the benefit of having this smiley, perky image. He's the HEB guy, and then he throws sushi and someone catches a fly and all this stuff. Deshaun is the guy, is the nice guy. He's the national championship guy. He's the smiling guy. And I think Tony Busby probably if I'm just analyzing this, thought we're going to have to get people to understand that this is not the guy that they see in public. We're going to have to break through that facade, and the best way to do that is this avalanche, so we cut through this preconceived notion of Deshaun being the nice guy, because the civil suit, would it all be, once again, is it a jury trial on the civil or just a bench trial on the civil suit? Because if it's a jury trial, he's going to have to convince people that Deshaun is not the guy
he's already applied for a jury trial.
Who?
Harden.
Yeah, because he does want people to say, that's Deshaun. You see him smile all the time. He couldn't possibly do anything. So I think what Tony Busby tried to do, analyzing this, is he's trying to break down the facade of Deshaun, the nice guy, because you couldn't. How many times did you and I say, which means the entire city would say this, because we speak for the city,
uh-huh.
How many times would people say, I can't see DeSean doing this. I never heard about any of this at Clemson. Where's the Clemson stuff? This does not seem like the DeSean who gave a bunch of meals to children and who's done all this. Like, that's understandable. DeSean's way out ahead of Tony Busby when it comes to perception of who he is. And if this goes to jury trial, you're going to have to get people to see DeSean in a different light. And I think that's what Tony Busby's...
Well, if you're going to do this in Houston, I don't know that there are many people that haven't heard about this already. And DeSean may have already been... I'm telling you, it's going to be... DeSean Watson is one of the...
Jury hadn't heard of OJ and Derek Chauvin. You don't think they've heard of this?
No, they absolutely have. And guess what? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people that made up their mind long before the trials. There's no one that didn't hear of Chauvin. There's no one that didn't hear of OJ. And I would bet you there are very few people in this city that haven't heard about what Busby has accused DeSean of.
Yeah, it's a new. It's not a sports story. It's a news story.
It's a news story. 959 ESPN 97.5.
See, it's a very sensitive subject to play this.
Oh, yeah. You might want to save it. You want me to stick around for the next segment so you can do that?
I feel like we need some distance.
Yeah. Look at John. You can read the rooms like 9:59. Dell, are you gonna play that thing?
See, people think you implied it. You thought I was gonna play it because you're a bad person. Bad person, John. Then Raheel. Then Lance. Then me.
Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.